Titus chapter 1. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before Thee now. We pray that You would speak to our hearts as we look at the Word of God and seek to understand it, understand how to study it. We pray that it might be beneficial to all of us. We trust Thee for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're looking at methods to study the Bible, and we're going to start the second method tonight, chapter summary method. We had a devotional method previously, but this one is called the chapter summary method. Out of 12 methods that we're going to give, this is number 2. Now, chapters in the Bible were not inspired by God. Chapters in the Bible were put in later so that it would be easier to reference the sections of the Word of God. It was done by a Bishop Langston, and it was done in 1228 A.D. So, in more than half the history of the church since Jesus, they did not have chapters. However, there are in our Bible 1,189 chapters, and it is not the suggestion here that the chapter summary method, that you try to use that on every chapter in the Bible. It may become too much. You know, I think it's better to have variety in your life and to mix this in with other methods of a Bible study that will be beneficial to you. Now, what is the value of the chapter summary method? Well, not only will you know the Bible better because you are reading the chapter and reading it over and over again, but when you are reading it by a whole chapter and you are deciding to study a chapter, you will find that it will be emphasizing a central thought. And that is very good. You see, one of the problems with cults like the Jehovah Witness is they live by a proof text mentality, and because they have lost people are confused and say, you know, well, you can use the Bible to prove anything. And in a certain sense, if you take it out of context, then that's exactly what people do. And so, you know, they'll take one verse and they'll take that verse, or a phrase, and they'll take that phrase out of the context. One of the ways they do it, you know, they say the 144,000 that speaks of Israel is Jehovah's Witnesses. And so they take it out of the context there, that the whole chapter is talking about Israel and naming the actual 12 different tribes of Israel. But they ignore that. They just take the 144,000 and use that and take their proof from that. And they do that with all kinds of things in the Word of God. And we don't do that. We quote Scripture to back up what we say, and that's what we ought to do. We ought to quote Scripture to back up what we say, but it's only right that that is quoted in the context of what the chapter says, what the whole Bible says. It's very important. Now, that's why when you're doing a chapter summary method, you're getting an overview of all of the thought that the Lord is trying to give to us, not just one particular verse. Now, here's how you do it. Here's how you do the chapter summary method. You pick out the chapter you'd like to do, and you read that chapter 5 times. And limit yourself to just reading the chapter. You know, don't look at any notes that you made or somebody else made or anything else like that, notes that are in the Bible. Just read it and focus on what it says. Read it at least 5 times. If you find yourself losing concentration, like most of us do, if you do that, then read it out loud. It'll help you concentration if you read it out loud. You know what I'm talking about. You're reading along and then suddenly something gets in your mind. You're thinking about that and you've read a few verses and you thought, boy, I just read a few verses. I don't even know what those verses said because I lost my train of thought. All right, so if you do that, there's one way to try to conquer it, is by reading it out loud. You see, you are seeking to know that chapter. and you are seeking to understand it, to assimilate it somewhat into your being. And after you read it about 5 consecutive times, it will help, and you'll find out it doesn't take a whole lot of minutes to read it 5 consecutive times. All right, after you have read it 5 times, then there are 10 easy steps to the chapter summary method. 10 easy steps. At least I said they were easy. You know, they're easy in comparison to other things. 10 easy steps. And they all start with C. I am about to list them. I will list them probably a little bit too fast for you. But if that's the case, don't worry about it, because we will have gone over them enough times so that you will have your list for those that are taking notes. All right, here are the 10 easy steps after you've read the chapter 5 times. Number 1, caption. Number 2, contents. Number 3, chief people. Number 4, choice verse. Number 5, I had to be very careful saying that one, because that's a real New Jersey. That's a real New Jersey boondoggle. Choice verse. Could come out church voice, you know? Anyway, 5, crucial words. 6, challenges. 7, cross-reference. 8, Christ seen. 9, central lesson. 10, conclusion. All right, I'm going to just take 2 of those tonight, because we're going to go through, we're going to show you exactly how to do this, so that when we're doing it all, you will know how to do the chapter summary method of studying the Bible. The first thing we're going to do is caption. Caption simply means give a title to the chapter. Give a title to the chapter. So, you know, you'd be thinking about that when you're reading it the 5 times. That's the first thing you ought to be thinking about is, I'm going to be thinking, what am I going to title this chapter as I read it? Now, when you're going to do this, the shorter the better. The shorter the title, the better. And also, the more arresting, the better. The more arresting. In other words, it has a ring to it. Or, you know, I wouldn't want to use the word tricky in regard to the Word of God, but something that catches your attention, if you can. Now, I have taken the book of Titus. The reason I selected the book of Titus was because of its brevity. Chapter 1 has 16 verses, chapter 2 has 15 verses, chapter 3 has 15 verses. I'm going to read chapter 1. And while I'm reading chapter 1, you think about what title would I give chapter 1. Now, you want to make it short, if you can, and you want to make it arresting, if you can. One or the other, or combined, it would be wonderful. And then, when I'm done reading it, I'm going to ask if any men here would like to take a crack at giving a title or a caption to this chapter. Now, just to encourage you to participate in it, just to encourage you, you can't be wrong. You can't be wrong. You know why you can't be wrong? Because it's your title for the chapter. If you're doing the Bible study, it is your title. It is the one that tells you what I titled that chapter. You see? And so, whatever you say, unless it is ridiculous, whatever you say, I'm not going to say you are wrong, because that's what you like and that's what you want to affix to that chapter. Plus, you're only going to have the opportunity to have heard it just this once when you make the title. So let's try this and see what you come up with. I'm going to read these 16 verses, and you think on them and think what you would caption or title this chapter. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. But it hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Okay, that's chapter 1. All right, now, the first thing you're going to do is give it a caption, or you're going to give it a title. Would anybody like to take a crack at what they thought they liked for a title for this particular chapter? Joe?
Man of God.
Okay. Anybody else? Mike?
Guidelines for elders.
Okay. All right. You see, there are different ways to say the same thing. Paul? Excuse me? All right, godly instructions. Okay. Anybody else? Yes? Okay. See, that any of those would be a title. Any of those would be a caption. You know, in my Bible, it has a heading that says qualifications to be an elder, and then it lists all number of things that an elder should be. There are other things in the chapter besides that, but each of the people said something that had regard to that, because that was the major part of that chapter. So then when you've given it that caption, you've given it that heading, you see, now you know Titus 1. What's Titus 1 about? Well, Titus 1 is mostly about the qualifications of what a man has to be a pastor. Let's do it again for chapter 2. Chapter 2 is somewhat different, and it's 15 verses long. And I'll give you another crack at chapter 2 and see what you put together here. Because actually, I think that chapter 1 is fairly easy compared to some other chapters that have more detail in them. So here we go with chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. All right, there you have chapter 2. Who would like to take a crack at captioning that, Manny?
Good examples.
All right. There's a good short caption. Somebody else? Okay. Somebody else? All right, you could see that this chapter here has a great deal in it, and many things in it. So it's not as easy. But when things are not easy, sometimes that's kind of good, because as you struggle over it, it's going to be more memorable, and that's part of the thing about it, you see? So, you could see, if you were to do the chapter summary method with the book of Titus, which is only three chapters long, we're not going to do the third chapter, but it's only three chapters long. If you were to do the chapter summary method, you would read, you know, you would have read the first one, and you would say, well, you know, it's kind of qualifications of pastors. Chapter number two is about this. Chapter number three is about this, you see. What I put for chapter two was behavior in the light of the blessed hope. All right? That's a caption. How did I get that? I mean, I had more time to think on it than you did. But how I got that was, I saw that all of these first verses, you know, the most part of the chapter is talking about how they ought to behave. And then it gets to this verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. I mean, that's an outstanding verse in the Bible, say, looking for that blessed hope. To every Christian, that's a really outstanding verse. However, that most of the chapter is not about looking for the blessed hope. So I just combined them and said behavior in the light of the blessed hope. You know, this is how we should be behaving. But he says looking for the blessed hope. We're behaving this way, looking for the blessed hope. Now, that's how you do a caption. And once you've done a caption of the chapter, you know, that will help you remember it. You see, if you've struggled over those things, and then you think, when you think of the book of Titus, you know, when the preacher says, turn to Titus, you know, what do you think of? Nothing. Right? And you just turn to the book of Titus. But a person who knows the Word of God real well, when the preacher says, turn to the book of Titus, you know, they might be thinking, well, you know, this is about, it's about elders, it's about behavior, the blessed hope, you see, chapter 3. And I gave chapter 3 a title, Behavior Not by Works. And so that tells you something about the book. And you see, if you had struggled over those things, and then you captioned it and titled it, you know, then when you hear, turn to the book of Titus, you kind of know what's in Titus, and you can be sure that whatever you know about, preacher's going to preach on something else. That's the way it usually goes. Hopefully that makes him a good preacher. I remember when Dr. Woodbridge would say, open to the book of Ephesians or something like that. You know, it's Ephesians chapter 1, I'd have these verses underlined. I wonder whether he's going to preach on a verse I have underlined. Never did. Always preached on something else, which I was happy for, because he was explaining to me things that I hadn't seen as very important. But when you caption things, you see, you get a better grasp of what that book is all about. Now, you might want to put it in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. You might want to put your own caption in the Bible so that the next time you're leafing through it, when you see the caption, it starts ringing a bell, all the hard work you did and what you remember about it. You might want to put a square around it or something that it stands out. Because remember, whatever it is that you say, it's your remembrance of that chapter. So it doesn't have to be a right and wrong. In my Bible, chapter 2 says, teach them. I mean, I wouldn't use that. It just says, teach them. But it's surely applicable, you know. But any title then can be helpful to you. All right, then, that's number one in the 10 easy steps. The second of the 10 easy steps is this. Now you're going to take the chapter that you do. We did two chapters tonight just to, you know, practice. But you're only doing one chapter. All right. We're going to take chapter two now because it has a lot of things in it. All right. The chapter summary method, you've given chapter two a title. In my case, it's behavior in the light of the blessed hope. Now, contents. You're going to write down the contents, and you're going to do it one of maybe four ways, whichever way you like, whichever way strikes you. So you summarize the chapter, or outline the chapter, or paraphrase the chapter. You know what paraphrase means? You know, it's almost like a bad word in this church. When spoken of a translation as a paraphrase, we don't like it. But it is a legitimate thing to do. Paraphrase means that you read the verse or you read a sentence and you say it in your own words. You try to capture the meaning in your own words. That's very permissible for your understanding. It's not inspiration, but it's permissible for your understanding, and it can be helpful. And a fourth thing that you could do is list the points. So you might pick one of these methods of the contents of the chapter, either summarize what's in the chapter or make an outline of the chapter. Now, some chapters are easier to outline than others. Maybe some people do outlines easier than others. Probably most of you don't do outlines very much, and so you might not like that. Or you may paraphrase it. Paraphrasing it would be quite a bit because, you know, that you'd have more writing down there than all the words themselves. And or listing points. So I'm going to do something here. You know, this chapter, I think it's easier to summarize or list some points. So here's how I would summarize it. I would do it this way. I'd say the chapter 2, which I've called Behavior in the Light of Blessed Hope, summarized this way: behavior for aged men, behavior for aged women, teaching young women, teaching young men, teaching servants. And then I would say, what the grace of God teaches. Now, you know, this is kind of a crucial little verse here. You get over to verse 11. You see, he's just given a list of all these things he should be doing. Not purloining in verse 10, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that. You see that? It says, the grace of God that brings salvation and appeared to all men teaches us something. Grace teaches us. What does it teach us? It teaches us that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly, righteously and godly in the present world. So the grace of God has a teaching aspect to it. And that's something that a person, if they're really saved, should pick up. So I put down what the grace of God teaches. That's kind of a critical thing in Christianity, because some people think that grace is just to cover all of our sin, which it is, but it is also, it teaches us that we ought to live a certain way. And then I have in this summary of this chapter, looking for the blessed hope, verse 13, because I think that's such a standout verse. I list that as being there. And then the last thing I have is what salvation produces. And you'll see that verse 14 and 15, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from the iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So you see, you're looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, right, there's salvation from all iniquity, and purify unto himself as a people zealous of good works. That's what salvation produces, isn't it? One of the reasons for salvation is not just to give us fire insurance from hell, but that we might be a people who are zealous of good works. That's what it should produce. So there are some interesting concepts in here that defeat the type of person that there has been from time to time in the history of Christianity that says, you know, we're saved by grace and we're kept by grace and it doesn't matter what you do. Well, the Bible says we're saved by grace, and that grace teaches us something, that we're going to live soberly and righteously, and salvation should produce in us that we are zealous of good works. That's good doctrine that defeats a lot of incorrect doctrine. So that is the chapter summary methods. We have taken the first two easy steps out of 10. Number one is caption it, and then number two, contents, summarize it or outline it or list the points that will help you to remember what that chapter is about and have a kind of a grasp. Now you know what that chapter is about. You might not know every detail, but look at all the things you do know from just doing that much. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee that the Word of God is something that every individual who is saved particularly can read and understand enough of that it can have a great effect on their life. I pray, Lord, that the folks will desire to read it and let it have a great effect on their life. Bless us now as we continue and go to our prayer time and the Lord's Supper, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.